Your word does not return void. And so whatever plan and purpose that you have for your word this morning, Lord, we can pray with confidence in knowing that it is going to go forth for what it is that you have planned. It's going to accomplish that task. And so, Lord, may our hearts just be open this morning to what you have to say through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to his protege. He's writing words of encouragement. Timothy is a young leader, and there's a difficult situation going on in the church in Ephesus, and he wrote to encourage and instruct him. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Quite a list of expectations that the Holy Spirit puts forth through Paul. And he provides another list for us as well in Titus. They repeat some of what's listed in 1 Timothy, but also includes an elder must be one who loves what is good, what is upright, holy and disciplined, holding to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. When I read these lists of qualifications, I'm reminded of the late Billy Graham. What a tremendous man of godly character. And I remember hearing one time that when he was out on the evangelistic circuit, that he had a team of people. And those people's responsibility, at least in part, was to go into either a hotel room or a dressing room, wherever Billy was going to be speaking, and that they would be checking to make sure that nothing or no one was in that room that would have compromised the message that Billy was going to put forth. He took great lengths to maintain the integrity of the ministry, so as not to compromise the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my desire to do likewise, to maintain the integrity of the ministry, because I don't want to compromise the message of the gospel. It's no secret that the father of lies, Satan, is intent on destroying the work of the Lord. It's typically not done with blatant blows, though. It's more seemingly insignificant compromises. In the world's eyes, these compromises are no big deal. In the church, sometimes the compromises can seem to be no big deal. After all, there's grace. But as one commentator strongly states in regards to the conduct of the overseer, he wrote, "The church has no right to diminish the requirements that God has set forth by the Holy Spirit. They stand as absolutes and must be followed for the sake of God's name, his kingdom, and the credibility of the high office of overseer. The requirements are both moral and spiritual. They're also both personal and public. And the personal and public ones, of course, are both, as well as the moral and spiritual, to be examples for others. So with that in mind, here's what I want you to have as expectations for me as a pastor, an overseer, starting with my personal life. I want you to have the expectation that I would do nothing to discredit the name of Jesus. I owe him everything. I want you to have the expectation that I will be a woman of prayer. Robert Morris said, "If I do not obtain some spiritual supply in my prayer closet, I don't have much to give when I walk into a gathering of believers." I want you to have the expectation that I will be a student of the Word. Going back to Billy Graham again, he said that he had wished that he would have spent more time reading the Bible than reading books about the Bible. That challenges me. I want you to have the expectation that I will be a woman of integrity and godly character, that I will respect the authority that God has placed over me, for there is no authority except that which God has established. I want you to have the expectation that I will be authentic and transparent. I am not perfect and will make mistakes, but I desire them to be an opportunity for growth. I want you to have the expectation that I will be a lifelong learner and reader. And this, of course, goes hand in hand with reading God's Word, but also reading other books and listening to other speakers, of those that are a little further down the road than I am. I want you to have the expectation that I will put my family first, including my marriage. Because going back to Scripture, if I can't lead my family well, how can I lead the church? I must invest that time in my family relationships for both my family and myself to be healthy. You might be wondering this morning, why would I go to such lengths to communicate this? Think back to a childhood game that you've likely played, Follow the Leader. The objective, of course, was to follow the action, the movements, maybe the expressions of the leader. Well, as followers of Jesus, the body of Christ, we too are to follow him, of course, by how he lived and by what he taught. And I love how Scott Wilson, a pastor in Texas, sums up kind of his mindset as a role in his role as a pastor. He considers himself to be the lead follower, not just in action, but in speech as well, of course, desiring to be more and more like Christ every day. So while Scott Wilson leads his church, his people can see an example of what it means to follow Christ. This kind of reminds me of my days back in junior high when I was on the track team, and there was an athlete that was a year younger than I was. And she would watch and do every stretch that I did as a track runner. She'd watch the stretches that I did as we warmed up. She would do a warm-up lap when I did a warm-up lap. And she would just follow everything that I did. And in my immaturity, it absolutely drove me crazy. It was just like, why is she doing this? Well, now I can reflect back and I can look and I can say, well, it's because she saw something in me that she wanted to be. She was just following my lead. Spiritually, as lead followers, as overseers, people will follow our lead. If I, as a pastor, don't seek to follow Jesus, how can I expect my church family to? And that's why I want you to know what I want you to expect from me in my personal life. While there may be a distinction between the personal and the private, there cannot be separation. The one will affect the other. So how I conduct myself in my personal life will be reflected in my public life. It can't be separated any more than we can compartmentalize our faith in Christ. What I do in private will affect how I lead. So publicly, as a pastor and an overseer, I would want you to have the expectation that I will put people before programs and projects. Yes, there's going to be times when we have projects like we had yesterday, where we had a time frame in order to get things done. but I desire that the task would never come before you as a person. I want you to have the expectation that I'm going to be a servant leader. I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. I will not ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. I want you to have the expectation that I will invite the Holy Spirit to move freely in our church, desiring the gifts of the Spirit to become a part of our normal worship. I want you to have the expectation that I will be compassionate. I still have the same heart as your care pastor. God's just expanding it. I want you to have the expectation that I will never intentionally harm your faith in any way. And this is huge. If I've ever said or ever say or ever do something that hurts you, please know that it is not my intention. Please remember my heart. I want you to have the expectation that I will be a wise manager of resources. I want you to have the expectation that I will be a teacher of the word, that I will faithfully proclaim the gospel and faithfully support missions. I want you to have the expectation that I desire to shepherd you, the flock, by caring for you, protecting you, and nurturing you. I want you to have the expectation that I will encourage you and lead you to be dependent on God for your spiritual growth, not on me. Yes, I want God to use me, but I cannot possibly give you everything that you need. Certainly not on a Sunday morning or even through book studies or one-on-one time. I don't want you to be dependent on anybody but God. I want you to have the expectation that I will challenge you. It's my desire that there's going to be days, and hopefully many of them, where the message that God has given me for this church will stretch you and convict you and challenge you and giving you an opportunity to grow and to change. I may challenge you through giving you an opportunity to serve in some way. These are the things that I want you to expect from me as a pastor. When the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to write to the church in Ephesus, he wrote to strengthen their faith and to form the spiritual foundations by revealing the fullness of God's eternal purpose of redemption in Christ. And in the fourth chapter, he wrote that God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And the purpose of God doing so was to prepare God's people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. As a pastor, I'm supposed to prepare you, God's people, for works of service. That's why I've encouraged you these past 2 weeks to know that you're not here by chance, to know that God has a plan, and if he has a plan, you have a purpose, that he's formed you as part of the body of Christ here in Hill City, and as a member of the family, that you have a role to fulfill, actively participating with the gifts and talents that he has given you. So here are the expectations that I have for you. I have the expectation that you will seek God through prayer and reading the Bible. This ties in with my inability to give you everything that you need for your spiritual growth. And even if I could, I do not want you as an adult to be dependent on anyone but God. I have the expectation that you will find a place to serve. This might take a little bit of time, but please be open to the possibilities. As a leader, I would love to blow Pareto's principle out of the water. That principle states that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I'd love for that to be different in our church. I have the expectation that you will respect the authority that God has placed over you, just as I do. I have the expectation that you will have a teachable spirit, desiring to learn and to grow. I have the expectation that you'll be patient with me as I grow as a preacher and as a leader. And I have the expectation that you will be faithful to contribute to the ministry as God leads you. And lastly, I have the expectation that you will remember my heart, a heart to equip you and build you up in your faith. As your pastor, I desire to be a godly leader, one that equips you to do God's work. I desire to build up the church, the body of Christ, the family that is here in Hill City. Together, that we would be a church that would be raising up disciples, a church that passionately cares for the hurting and the outcast and reaches out to the lost, to be a church that boldly proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, a church that passionately follows him and displays his love in everything that we do, to be a church that looks beyond ourselves and supports missions here in our community, in our state, in our nation, and overseas and beyond. Together, that we would be the body of Christ. As we speak the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In closing, I believe that sharing expectations is important. Communicated expectations in the right spirit can be a wonderful thing. It can help us to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And so I am excited to see what God's going to do in and through this church as we actively seek him, as we would partner with him in his plan. He's got wonderful things in store for our church. I believe that. I am believing for greater things. And certainly as we move forward into this next chapter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this privilege of being a child of God.